This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 117, The Transporter 3 from 2008. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and my co-host is
Nate from Nate Fletcher Reviews.
All right, Nate, how long has it been since you've seen Transporter 3?
All right, so if you guys listened to our previous shows, you will know that I loved Transporter 2, and I like Transporter 1 a lot. I've seen those a lot of times. I have seen Transporter 3, I think this was my third time watching it. It was either my second or third. I saw this at the theater, and I might have watched it when it came out on Blu-ray, and now this time. So I'm going to say this is my third time, but it's been at least 6, 7, 8 years since I've seen it.
Yeah, look, for me, this is actually the first time watching this movie. That's I didn't see 2 and 3, and it's actually an interesting movie. So I can't wait to talk into it. But yeah, this is the first time me actually watching. So it's pretty cool when we sit back and we watch these action movies for the first time and talk about them amongst. Yeah, yeah, it's the best part about it. But with that said, let's get right into some box office numbers from The Transporter 3 from 2008. Domestic, this movie came in at a whopping $31 million. International, $77 million on a worldwide total of $108 million on a budget of $40 million and opening weekend of $12 million.
Well, that's why they rebooted it, because Statham probably didn't want to come back at that point. He was like, yeah, I've moved on. I've done three. You know, now I'm doing these Expendables movies and stuff like that. But it was, they all made money. They all made money. Maybe not, these are not monster hits, but this is also Lionsgate. It's a smaller studio. You know, you have like the big five. I always called Lionsgate the like medium sixth as far as the studios. Like it's big, but it's not like Paramount or Warner Brothers. So good little, nice, moderate hits, all of them. So that's pretty good. I mean, it didn't make a lot here, but internationally it did pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of knew because of Jason Statham. But look, yeah, with that said, let's check out what the audience and the critics have to say about this film.
So this one has the lowest of the three movies we've done so far. I think both critics and audience. This one has a 40% critic score. Now, the first two didn't have super high scores, but the audience scores were generally pretty good. The audience score on this one, 48. So this one is not the most beloved. We'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, look, with that said, we're going to throw all those scores out the window, and we're going to give you guys our score for The Transporter 3 from 2008. So we all know when I host a show, Nate goes first with the lead character. So lead character, Frank Martin, played by Jason Statham.
You know what? I'm going to be honest. I don't like him in this movie. I do not like him in this movie. I like Jason Statham all the time. I never dislike Jason Statham. I do not like Frank Martin in this movie. He has no real good attachment to anything in this film. See, the reason the first one was really good is because he had that attachment to the girl, you know, that he discovers in the trunk. He had the rules, right? Establish all the rules. He was cool. It's awesome. And then he has the attachment to the girl and whatever. The second movie has the attachment to the kid, you know, and they did a good job. He's driving this kid. He wants to protect him and he's still cool. You know what I mean? And this one, he didn't lose any of his cool factor in this movie. He's still cool. Still looks great with his shirt off. Still looks great in a suit. You know what I mean? He has a cool car. He has a nice house, but didn't, I don't know. And you're going to go in a second. And I don't know if you're going to agree with this, but even he seemed like bored. Like he didn't want to do these movies anymore by this point. You know what I mean? And when the actor doesn't really want to do it, it affects the character. I don't think Statham, again, I don't think he's bad, like bad in it, but no, Frank Martin, I didn't like him in this. You know, they didn't really play up the whole rules thing. You know, they do. They, other people mention them at this point. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't even really bring them up. And this character had no real reason to be in this, like in the whole scenario, which we'll get into in story, but I really didn't like him. And I hate to do this, but I feel in my heart I must. And I gave him a 2. I didn't like the character of Frank Martin in this film.
That's very interesting. All right. Look, for myself, I didn't give him a 2. I do agree with you on all the points. He does. He did not look like he was having fun with this movie like he did in the first movie. His aneurysms, I hope I said it, mannerisms.
Mannerisms, yeah.
Yeah, mannerisms changed. I felt like they changed. It was weird. Like, he was making fun of the rules that he made, and he goes, oh, you know, it's time. You know, you can always break rules. No! That was what...
suspended.
Yeah, that was, like, what set you apart in the first movie was your rules, your set of rules. Don't look at the thing. We don't give your name. You know, don't do what X, Y, and Z. And I felt like this movie was just like a, not a nod to the first. It had the same feel a bit, but like they just neglected what the first one made it so special. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Like the first one was so special, but they kind of neglected a lot of parts of the what made the first one so good. And I felt like that was one of them. They changed like his whole rules thing. His cop friend was not annoying like he was in the second movie. He was actually really good in this movie.
They toned him down a lot in this movie.
Yeah, they did. He played the part well, his cop friend. So I thought that worked well. But yeah, man, I gave him a 3 because I kind of liked him in the action scenes. And when he talked, I mean, he was a believable character. It's not like he lost that essence of Frank Martin. So I gave him a 3 because I felt like he was good in the role. He wasn't great. And he was not perfect as Frank Martin. I deducted a few points because I had him at 4 from the first two. He was
god tier at moments in the first two movies, and he never hit that in this movie to me.
He did it. I mean, we'll talk about that in the fight sequence. But with that said, let's get to the main villain.
So the main villain is, I forget the actor's name, Robert. I don't know how to pronounce it. I don't know if it's Knepper or Knepper, whatever. It's something like that. I didn't like him. There's not a lot in this movie. I'm going to just spoiler alert here. There's not a lot in this movie that I like. He was fine, I guess. He was there. It's, you know, this movie, his whole like thing is very convoluted. Like what he's trying to do, especially early on. It's like, what is he trying to do? What is he trying to do? And why is he doing it this way? You know what I mean? Like, for example, he's the main villain, right? And he comes through. And he's trying to, you know, early on, he's trying to get Frank Martin to do the job for him to drive this girl. He doesn't want to take it. He recommends a friend, okay? And his friend is terrible, apparently. He's like, the guy he recommends is like a horrible transporter and crashes through his house, right? And then later in the movie, then he gets Frank Martin to do it by pretty much like knocking him out and hooking this bracelet that explodes onto him, okay? And he's like, oh, I need you to drive it, whatever. Okay. He's driving the girl. And then there's a moment where they stop at this German dude's house, like his garage, to like take off the bracelets. And the guy's like, oh, he's gone off course. And the bad guy's like, well, get him back on course. And like 50 guys show up. And in my head right then, I'm like, why didn't he just have these 50 guys transport this girl? Like, you know what I mean? And this ties back to why Frank Martin, and I know it ties to story, but my point is, as a villain, I just felt he was fairly inept. His plans didn't really seem that good. He's just a guy in a room for most of the movie. You know what I mean? Like watching from computer screens. He's not very threatening, in my opinion. I gave also him a 2.
All right. Well, his name is Johnson, which was weird.
Johnson. What a name. Yeah. Johnson.
Yeah. So Johnson, he was a weird villain. Between him and the Spanish version, the ripoff of Benicio del Toro in part two. Yeah. They both had the same character style, right? Like they both told people what to do, right? He was controlling the situation, right? Mm-hmm. The entire thing, you know, Frank put the, you know, code 215, whatever. And then it gives him like the course to where to go. Yeah. And did he fight him? Yeah, he fought him. Was he menacing? No, he was not. And that's the thing. Like I felt like with this character, I mean, he was good. I'm not going to say he was great, but he was good. He was a villain, but he was better than the first guy in the first movie as a villain.
I agree with that.
I thought he was way better. So with that, I gave him a 3. I thought in terms of a typical villain, I think he had everything there laid out. I just think they didn't put the right poise or whatever. They didn't give him the right notes to finish him out or flesh him out.
And I agree with the point about the villain in 2. They're similar. The reason I like the guy in 2 better is he has this, and the whole movie has this over-the-top quality that, you know, this guy doesn't have. This is more in tone. I think it was what you were trying to explain. Yeah. This one in tone is way more like the Transporter 1 than it is Transporter 2. That one's way more goofy and cheesy. This one is accidentally cheesy, but it's trying to be more like 1, right? So I think that's what you're explaining.
Yeah, action scenes. Yeah.
So the action scenes are fine. They're fine. You know, they're fine. The action is never the problem in a Transporter movie, in my opinion. If there's things wrong, it's not there. Jason Statham's still good in the fights. I think they overdo at this point now, they've reached the point of overdoing the like one versus 10 guys fight that happens in all these movies. You know, the first one, he had the, you know, the oil and all that kind of stuff. And it was cool. Right. And then the second movie, at least they try to differentiate it, because he had like in the house, he had all the tools and the pipes and the hose and all that. And this one, he literally just punch and kicks. There's not like, there's nothing. He uses his jacket at one point to like, you know, slip out or whatever. Statham's good in the action scenes. He's always good in the action scenes. We love him on this podcast. I don't think we really ever talk bad about him. He looks great in the action scenes. He does his own fights, which is admirable. So the action scenes are good, but that's all they are. They're good. And they're horribly edited. Absolutely. I counted at one point, Alex. I was sitting there watching this movie. I said, I want to see how many cuts there are in this like 3 second span. And it was 7 cuts. When you cut something 7 times in 3 seconds is the hard. There's no reason for that. And they're filmed bad. That's my problem with them. The actual, you know, what's happening in them is fine. And then there's the corny part with the car when it's like driving sideways and stuff like that's like, okay, now physics is coming into it and it's not good. So I give it a 3. I give that a 3 only because I like Statham. The action scenes are fine. I just wish they were filmed differently. They're just chopped to hell. And I hate that.
I agree. I did notice that this had a lot of the Taken cuts to make Liam Neeson look good in the fighting sequence.
I think the guy who directed this directed one of the, not the first, but maybe the second or third Taken movie.
Yeah, I felt that whole fast cut, which makes no sense because Jason Statham doesn't need cuts because he's good. He's so good at how he fights. So it was weird. I gave the action scene, I gave it a 4. I liked it. I felt like it was more martial arts based than a random guy just fighting. Because again, Jason Statham is more martial arts for some, you know, he's like the Van Damme, we call him on this podcast. We call him our modern. So you see that and I'm okay with it. You know, in the garage felt so weird because it felt so choreographed. It didn't look natural. It was like you got 20 dudes and you mean to tell me these 20 dudes are not going to bum rush this guy at one time. But no, they all took their time to fight this guy, which made no damn sense.
Classic.
Yeah, classic. So I thought that was cool. The driving sequences, again, was always fun. I always thought the transporter, that's the bread and butter of the transporter, is the driving sequences, him getting out of situations. But the problem is that I could allow the whole him on two wheels going between trucks with like 007 because we've seen it in 24 films that his car, like he could do it. He's a spy. Yeah. With the transporter, I can't allow that disbelief because we never got that in the first movie. The first movie was a normal transport. He's a guy. He didn't do all these like him doing stupidity stuff. Like, I don't mind the whole license plate flipping and all that. That's normal spy stuff, right? Like that's cool. When you take this whole thing and then all of a sudden you're driving backwards, which I was like, okay, that's cool. But then all of a sudden his car's in a two and then he goes between two trucks. And I'm like, this is not what we signed up for in the transporter movie. So that deducted some points on that. Then when he drives, like for some reason, and we're going to talk about this in the story, but he drives this car. First of all, the car was underwater for like God knows what. The water filled up the engine. The car turns on and he can still drive it like normal. Granted, you see him tinkering with it, but still
he blew on engine, it and all the water came out.
Yeah. The engine block is filled with water. Come on, let's just be honest with this. It's not an underwater car. But anyway, that happens. He drives the car off a bridge on top of a train moving. Stops perfect. I mean, the car just like a perfect stop. Had no tunnels coming around. So it can't knock the car out of the way. And to me, that's where I was like, I understand what you were talking about because you said, oh, the next movie was going to be more ridiculous. And that is ridiculous. And again, if it was a 007 movie, I would have said, you know what? I'm gonna wipe my hand clean because he will do something like that. Takes his Aston Martin and dump it on top of a car, hit a button, and the tires will become magnetic and it will seal into the train so it can't move. My man just put the damn thing on park, on drive. He left it there on park. And I'm like, wait a minute, the wind velocity will knock this car out. But look, with that said, I gave it a 4 because I was kind of entertained with all that. But,
you know, there's one thing that's very, very important when it comes to these scenes and this movie and these movies. And that is the tone. Again, I go back to it. The tone of the movie that is set determines what you can and cannot do, in my opinion, with a lot of these action scenes. Number two has some of the stupidest stuff in it. He flips the car over and takes a bomb off with a hook. The girl shoots a helicopter with a gun. The difference is that movie sets you up for that stuff just by the tone of the movie, just by the way it starts. This one plays like dead serious. You know, like when the movie starts, there's no over the top humor or even the way like the second movie. If you remember, the second movie is like all orange, very sun drenched, very Miami, very there. It had a vibe to it that it may not work for everybody, but at least it's consistent. This movie, it wanted to like do the same stupid stuff, but it wanted to have like a serious tone like the first movie, and it didn't work. You know, you can't be a serious action film and then have this stuff that you're talking about that's so ridiculous that it doesn't work, in my opinion. So I agree with you.
All right, storyline.
Not good. I don't like this movie. I don't really like this movie. I hate the girl in this movie, first of all. I know we didn't really mention her in any other parts. I love the girl in the first movie. She's great. She's very sweet. You want her to live. You agree with her plight. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, yeah, dang, go. There's not really there's the mom in the second movie and she's hot, but you know, she doesn't have to, she doesn't really have like a big arc. But this one, she's like a main character and I don't like her. Valentina or whatever. I'm not a fan. I never liked her. I never got their dynamic. It just didn't make any sense to me. I said it with the villain earlier. It's too convoluted for this kind of movie. This should be very easy. This should be very simple. And the way they try to set this up, you know, like early with the boat, with like the mysterious, you remember in the boat in the beginning and then they find that like vat of toxic waste or whatever. And it like makes them all die and stuff like that. And they don't revisit any of that for like so long that you forget it even happened. And then when you're watching it, you're like, well, why did that happen? But because they take so long to explain it, I think it's poorly written. And I know this was written by Luc Besson and I think Robert Mark Kamen. And they wrote they worked on all three. But I don't know. This felt like just a different movie than the other ones. And I don't really like it. I gave the story a 2. I'm not a fan.
Storyline. I agree with you. This storyline. All right, let's just do it this way. The storyline felt like two different movies. Okay. Mm-hmm. The first movie, we had this toxic Avenger type thing in the suitcase. And then all of a sudden, in the dome. And I was like, what the hell are we watching? It did not feel like a transporter movie. I'm just going to be honest with you. It started off with no transporter at all. It was just a boat. And I'm like, yo, this is like straight out of a Lethal Weapon movie. Or I don't know what we're watching here. It did not work for me. I'm going to be 100% with that. I did not know what the hell we were watching. Then we got to the Frank Martin, right? He's fishing with his friend, which I was like, okay, that's cool. But while he's talking, Malcolm, which is his friend, is doing all the car scenes. So you can see when they're talking and everything is the action sequence. And I felt like it did not work. To me, it didn't work. Then he crashes into his house, which I was just like, I guess it was sheer luck, because if he was sitting on the couch, he would just got ran over. So I was like, okay. So he moves to get his phone. He crashes into the car. Then there's this, and this is where I think the movie had potential. I love the device. If he gets away from the car, it explodes. 75 feet, I believe, 25, it will activate. Yeah. I thought that was genius. I said, yo, this is actually pretty good. But they never took advantage of it. They never did. Like, it never did. Which I was like, man, you could have had a great... And I was thinking to my head, like, man, the action sequences that I would have wrote alone with that whole topic of him with the gotta be 75 feet. I'm like, you could do so much with that. And we never got it. Because the whole movie, he's in the car. So it's like, damn, what happened if there was a cool sequence that, yeah, you did have the guy take the car and trying to blow him up, but it would have been cool if he was driving another car and he's like, you know what I mean? Like, they having a side-to-side driving. That was one of
the
best parts
as far as the action. Like, I like that because there's suspense to it. You know what I mean? Like, they could have done so much suspense, like, oh, shoot, the car's getting away again. Or, oh, no, he's getting too far or this or that. You're right. I agree with you 100%.
Like, imagine if, let's say they take his car, right? And he gets in on another car and he's driving against his car so he could keep up with the 75 feet. And he does some ridiculous thing to get jumped into the car. You would have been more entertained with that. Going, sheesh, that is pretty cool. I felt like the action scene, him riding a bike, to me didn't work because it's like, dude, this car would have outpaced you 2 seconds ago. Like, it didn't work for. And then he was doing bike tricks. Like, if my man was in BMX. BMX. So anyway, long story short, I did not feel him and the girl. The girl was annoying. I'm sorry. She was annoying. He's like, get in the car. She's all with the, I'm going to take pills. And, oh my God.
And she has to go pee.
I'm she pees because it's 75 feet in the store. I would have been like, yo, girl, get out of here.
That's so gross.
Anyway, yeah, she pees. I just felt like it was so much potential, man. And it's so sad because it had potential. I was like, man, this is a good concept. But the ending did not work for me because the car, he was like, wait a minute, I'll be right back. And he drives the car off the damn train into the other car, then whips the guy's ass. And I was like, this is not no more. It's like, you just, it didn't work for me. Like, it did not work for me. So anyway, I gave it a 2 storyline. I didn't like the storyline. I thought it fell flat for me overall.
So overall, this is my least favorite of the Transporter films, the Statham Transporter films. I don't like, you know what I hate about this movie? I hate the way it is directed. It bothers me. I hate the editing. I hate the white screen flash thing where it like goes fast edit and then the screen turns white and then it cuts to another thing and then the screen turns white. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm, I absolutely hate it. And it happens like 450 times in this movie. It happens so much that you start to be able to predict right when it's going to happen every single time. And you'll get it right. It's a, do a drinking game. Do a drinking game where you try to guess when the screen's going to turn. You'll be wasted in the first 25 minutes because you'll get it right every single time. And it happens like 80 times. I always try to watch these movies and just like, you know, let them be what they are with the story and the acting and whatever. But bad direction can ruin a movie, in my opinion. And I think this is a poorly directed film. I think the action scenes are not shot well. They're not edited well. It doesn't have like cool music like the first two movies, especially the first movie. I think the first movie has like really cool music that goes to it. It's kind of weird, but it works. And the first movie to this day still has the best driving scene. Like the opening driving scene in the first Transporter is better than any driving scene in any of the other follow-up movies, yep. Which is crazy. You know, that you would think they'd get better with it and they somehow didn't. I'm not a big fan of it. I gave it a 2.
I'm going to keep it short. I gave it a 3. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it for what it was. If you would have changed the lead chick and if you would have ironed out most of the plot and actually had a good villain, I think the 3 would have been a really good movie. I think it would have been better than 2, but it didn't. I just think it fell flat. And again, this is like the third, I think it's like the third or fourth movie we reviewed of Louis Bazong or whatever his name is in this podcast. Yeah, right? We did Lucy.
Oh, Lucy. Well, he directed Lucy and then he wrote it. And then he wrote all of these movies.
We haven't done Taken yet. So that's going to be another of his.
We haven't done Taken franchise. We haven't done like The Fifth Element. We haven't. Mm-mm. There's still movies out there that we haven't done, but. A Valerian, but he got his fingers on a lot of these like European style action movies, you know?
And that's the thing I want to say, but like, I feel like his style does not work for me, man. Like it works a little bit, like he'll get me. And then all of a sudden something stupid would happen. And I go, okay, dude, you do this in every movie. And the same thing with Lucy, me and you hated Lucy. It had potential, but then it just became stupid. It was just like, oh, here we go. This movie, the first one was a genius. I think it was a genius movie. But then 2 and 3 awesome. Became stupid. You're going, damn, dude, how can you just... It's just weird. And I noticed Luzon Bazon, just weird.
Luke Croissant.
Yeah, Luke Croissant. anyway, I just felt like he's weird. I gave it a 3. You gave it a 2. Total points.
That's an 11 for me. It's low, but you know, it felt, and this movie's an hour and 40 minutes and it feels like it's 2 hours and 40 minutes. Like it just, this should not be paced this way. It shouldn't feel so long. The appeal of the first two movies is they're like 90 minutes and less. The second movie's less than 90 minutes. This is the longest one. Why is this one so long? And it's only 10, 15 minutes longer and you feel it. I don't like it. 11 out of 25.
I gave it a 15. I thought the action sequences were good. And then I gave it 3. So that's the only reason why it was up. You gave me mostly 2s on your scores. Yeah, look, other than that, that's pretty much it. That's our Transporter 3 review. Nate, tell everyone what's coming up.
All right, here's what we got coming up. Wrapping up the action movies that no one talks about series for this month of December, we have Doomsday. I know that's a first time watch for you, right, Alex?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can't wait to talk about it. Very excited. So we're going to be talking about some Doomsday next episode. And then following that, we're moving on to a new year, 2022, January. You know what that means? New month, new franchises. So we will be doing, this is, you know, I won't lie. I'm surprised it took us this long to get to this franchise because it is, if you're talking about just box office, this is a monster. This is a juggernaut of a franchise. If you also talk about people who hate it, a juggernaut of a franchise. So I'm looking very forward. We're going to be doing the Transformers series of movies.
Oh, Lord.
This is going to be fun. I genuinely am excited to talk because I know you haven't seen all of them.
I have not seen. I seen the Dark Sun and the Moon. Which one's that
the
one?
Third
two?
One.
Is
third,
that two?
Third.
Okay. Three. So I haven't seen 4 and 5 at all.
Okay. So you haven't seen the Wahlberg ones. Okay.
No.
So we're going to be doing all of them. The LaBeoufs. And the Wahlberg ones. We'll be doing all of those.
Okay.
And then our new month, our other month, speaking of, this is Mark Wahlberg month. And the I love me some Mark Wahlberg action films. I'm not going to lie. And we're starting off with another Peter Berg movie. You remember we love The Kingdom, Deepwater Horizon, starring Mark Wahlberg, directed by Peter Berg. So that'll be our first in the Marky Mark month of January. I can't wait. I'm very excited.
Actually, that sounds pretty good. We got a good lineup for next year. I mean, we got some DC, Killer. We got Marvels. I mean, we're hitting the DC superhero movies too. So you guys are gonna have a treat in the superhero fun.
We got Dirty Harry next year. We got, I think Die Hard is next year. We got some heavy hitters.
Yeah, we got a lot of good ones. In the Supermans with the Christopher Reeves all the way up to
Henry
Cavill.
The Supermans and all the Spider-Mans next
and
year.
And all the Spider-Mans. Oh, look at that.
It's gonna be very fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun revisiting it. And by then, Spider-Man No Way Home will go right into that whole list. And it'll be a first time watch for me. It's going to be really good. Yeah, so it's going to be actually pretty fun. All right, guys, if you guys want to follow us on our social media account, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, please go to www.youtube.com/levelsofgeeks for our video version or subscribe to our audio version on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, anywhere you listen to your podcast on, search for Action Movie Guys. And of course, if you guys want to follow Levels of Geeks, you go to head over to Twitter at Levels of Geeks. That's where I put a lot of our stuff up. But other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.